Yeah, this podcast is quite a kind of laid-back chat about love and the lengths that we go to in the name of love, basically. The things we do for love. Very good. The things we do for love. The things we do for love. My name is Izzy Sotty. This week I'm joined by...
Danielle Ward.
The things we do for love. Yay! Welcome to The Things We Do For Love. That was difficult, wasn't it? She had to say her own name. This is a podcast where we discuss literally the things you do in the name of love and the things that we've done in the name of love. It might be that you sowed sunflower seeds in the shape of your partner's name, then had to wait years and years for them to grow, by which time they'd run off with your best mate. It might be the time you let a boy you fancy cut your fringe, like I did, and he cut it to 4 millimetres long, and I had to wax it to my head. That happened at college. It was awful.
That sounds horrible.
We shared a lot of formative years together,
yeah.
Didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
And there's someone we might talk about tonight, and we need to who you went out with.
Yeah.
And we need to think of a code name for him, don't we?
I am going to call him or her.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Mm,
all fluid these days. I'm going to call.
Is that the name? Oh, I remember the first time I met. All fluid these days.
He or she wishes. I'm going to call them Lemming.
Lemming. Okay.
Yeah, Lemming. I think that's a good name for them. Do you not think?
Well, I think Lemming feels a bit derogatory. Do you think?
Yeah. Oh. You've not heard the stories yet.
That's true. Okay, so we'll call them Lemming.
Let's call them Keith.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll call him or her Keith.
Keith's quite a good name, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. And do you you know your story of the papier-mâché penguin?
Yes.
Do people know who that's about?
No.
So do we need a code name for him
yes,
or her?
The code name for him is Sam, and I've been using the name Sam for many years.
Oh, okay.
And the penguin's name is Roy. I can't remember if I've talked about this penguin in the podcast before. Roy's name hasn't been changed. I don't know if I have talked about the penguin in the podcast. What Danielle's referring to is I made a papier-mâché penguin when I was going out with Sam. I've been going out with him for a couple of years, and it was like that point. It was at that point where, I don't know if you've ever been in this point, when you're in a long-term relationship and one of you will try to initiate sex and the other one pats them until it stops.
Is that what Sam did?
Yeah, well, I did some patting as well.
Oh.
Yeah, I made this papier-mâché penguin because penguins were his favourite animal. But it ended up being much bigger than I thought because I got all the equipment. I got like chicken wire and normal wire. And chicken wire doesn't really bend. It was just the roll of chicken wire that was like really high, and that became Roy's body. And I built shelves into his stomach. And then I was going to make like tiny organs to put onto his shelf, like a tiny heart, onto all the shelves, like a tiny heart and lungs and a kidney and stuff. And I thought, no, that'll look mental. Just stick with a 6-foot penguin.
You know, that story... It was the thing that made me realise that I'd never been in love.
Oh, what? Because you hadn't done anything like that?
Never done anything like that.
But do you...
And hadn't even wanted to.
But I don't know if it meant that I was in love. I feel like with the penguin, it was almost like I didn't deliberately do something kooky, but also I didn't do it because I loved him so much that I was like, I'm going to spend £180 and like 3 months making you this massive penguin. It was because I think I liked him slightly more than he liked me, you know, and it's like 51% and 49%, but you're always aware of it. I don't know if anyone's ever been in a situation like this, but I felt like I was only ever a hair's breadth, I like the way I dropped that in, a hair's breadth away from making it be 50-50. So I was like, what thing can I do to show him that I'm really thoughtful and creative? But making a massive penguin and turning up on their doorstep with it wasn't the thing to do. And I think, if anything, it made it really clear that we weren't going to stay together. So I don't think it means that you haven't been in love. You don't. You're in love now, though, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. I've been with my partner for 8 years. I better fucking have been, yeah. Otherwise, that's...
Yeah, I thought the fact you're really angry about it. Fucking 8 years.
Fucking not married. No, it doesn't matter. I don't like it. I don't like weddings. I find them, they frighten me. For me, it's like the most high-pressured admin you could ever want to go through. No, and also, I really, like, the main reason I don't like weddings is I have the real, every sitcom I've written involves someone who's been left at the altar, and I think it's a real fear of mine.
Oh, so
public humiliation to that degree. Like, yeah. I'm a princess. princess, I'm my special. Oh, he hates me. I just can't. I can't deal with it.
Yeah, it's quite a height to fall from, isn't it? It is the best day of my life. Oh, I mean, all these voices that we're doing for the bride are so. I've got five spray cans, one on top of the other. Because they left me at the altar.
Such misogynists.
It's awful, isn't it? I went through this phase of whenever I went to a wedding, I had a spray tan.
Really? And
yeah, to the point where my boyfriend's sister didn't recognise me. I was like, I'd gone for like level, I think you probably graded, I went for like level 9 out of 10.
You know that that's really frowned upon.
No, it's my whole body.
Okay, yeah. Oh, they don't mind that.
the wedding thing. So do you really think that's what, like, if he proposed to you, would you be like?
No, I'd be fine with it. But if there was some sort of system where I could maybe sign a form and send it to someone instead of having to have an actual, I find the whole thing of having a wedding really weird. But I think, and this isn't even going to be funny now, this is just about being a performer, I sort of find the idea that when I'm on stage, because he is a sketch performer and I'm a stand-up, when I'm on stage, it's all about me. And so if I was on stage at my wedding, I sort of feel it would be all about me, and that doesn't feel very couple-y.
Right, yeah. I always think I'd treat it... Well, I mean, we got engaged recently. Did you
know you and I.
Yeah. Did you know?
I didn't realise.
You were asleep, but I took your silence as a yes. I asked Ellis to marry me, shortened.
Did you buy your own engagement shortened? Ring?
Okay, so this is the thing. I talked about this on the last episode, but when I proposed to him, I immediately quickly added, you've got to pay for the ring. Because I was like, that was always the thing that I thought, if girls propose to boys, who pays for the ring? But then with gay couples, do you reckon they just split it? Or if one end, got any gay couples in who are married or engaged?
I thought engagement rings were quite an archaic thing. Like, my very dear friend, Margaret Cavell-Smith, when she got engaged, her partner said, shall we get married? And she said, yes. And he said, would you like a ring? And she said, no, the boiler needs fixing. And that was how they did it. They bought a new boiler. And I think that's nice.
The boiler needs fixing is a brilliant euphemism.
Isn't it great?
We haven't had sex for 3 months and I've made you a penguin. Sorry, the boiler needs fixing. I think that as you get older, it gets a bit more practical, doesn't it?
Yeah.
My worry is that I'd treat the wedding like a gig.
Yeah.
And I'd want to make a speech and I'd be like, my friends should be laughing more.
I know of a comedian who doesn't really do the circuit anymore, who at their own wedding, that she came through a trapdoor in the floor. Now, if that isn't showboating, I don't know what is.
Maybe she was waiting there in case she changed her mind. Okay, I'll do it.
I mean, it's impressive that it was a woman, but also it's a bit like, it's my day, it's not your day.
So she came through a trapdoor?
Yeah.
Like, did she clamber through? Or did, like, people lift her up from below?
You mean like a zombie crawling out of the grave? No, it was on some sort of leverage.
Oh, my God, that's incredible.
But just, like, I think the problem is if you marry a performer and if you're both performers, there's always in the back, rather than thinking, this is about us, this is our day, it's like, it's about the audience, what do they want?
Yeah, no, that's true. But I think also we're used to having people listen to us, so it's not like it's the only time in our lives that anyone's ever, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's sort of why I do.
But basically attention seek all the time. Yeah. It's just attention seeking in a dress.
Yeah, but that's why I don't get it.
Yeah,
because I get that. I mean I can go and do a gig tomorrow night, mate. I don't need to get married.
Yeah. I'll do it in my wedding dress. Have you ever done anything like when I let Tom, real name Tom, cut my fringe? I mean, it was awful. It was like, it was in circa 1999, and there was a supermodel then who had a really, really short fringe, I think called Amber something, and I was like, will you cut it a bit like hers? And he said, yeah. And I had like really straight hair in a bob, and then he cut it really short. I looked like a monk.
Yeah.
And then he cut it even shorter, and it stuck straight up, and I had to wax it onto my head for months.
Yeah. I mean, I've had bad fringes.
Yeah, but have you let someone you fancy cut them? Like, have you ever done anything like that where you're like, I think I just wanted I think it was similar to the penguin thing. I was just like, oh, just do something mental and then you'll love me.
No. I've never let a man cut my hair, ever. Not even a male hairdresser. never happens. No, I don't think I have. I've never been that desperate for approval. no, like I think
if you throw enough shit at the wall.
Yeah, I mean, I am the my approach to relationships is too cool for school, make no effort, care little, but secretly be mental. That's what it is. It's never never show them what it is. Always keep it back. Keep it, you know, when you get to the point where your female friends hate you because you're just going on about someone all the time.
Yeah.
It's that. I do that. I never give it to the boys.
So you don't let them know.
Never let them know the weirdness that is going on.
And then wait a few months till they're reeled in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then never gonna leave me.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is. I just and also, I mean, I am really weird about my hair, so I would never let someone do that. But are you the sort of person, would you let Ellis tattoo you if you wanted to?
Oh God. I mean,
you would. I know you, Izzy. You'd let him do that.
I think I would have done like 3 years ago. But I don't know. I feel like, yeah, I would. I think I would. I mean, Ellis is a very timid person. He's a very cautious child. I mean, even now, when he wakes up, he has to have a glass of squash before he speaks. He's really like, he's quite, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He's quite, he's sort of like, oh yes, I'll have my squash and then I'll see what I've got to do for the day. I can't imagine him sort of going like, give me your arm, I'm going to tattoo a massive devil. I was thinking, you can tell that I haven't really thought about tattoos since the 80s. Like, everyone seemed to have like devils or angels on their like bums, didn't they?
A Tweety Pie.
Yeah, Tweety Pie, yeah. I always love that story about Johnny Depp having Winona forever, then changing it to Wino forever when they split up. There aren't that many names that you can do that with,
no,
are there?
No.
No, I don't. Would you let David tattoo you?
No, fuck off. He doesn't like tattoos, and I have two. I don't know how I got in there.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no. I'm really, my approach to relationships is a very horribly pragmatic one of it's working now, but it may in the future. Because I think the thing that I hate about relationships is when I was very young, sort of invested all that emotion into people that let you down, and now I carry that like a plate of armour and no one gets in.
What, like in relationships you mean?
Not even in relationships. I've only had like three relationships, and I didn't lose my virginity till I was 22, which is quite old, but then quite young for a comic, I found out. So, being those averages.
That is true, actually.
It is, it really is. It's quite weird.
I was 15, but it was only in and out. Like, once. I don't think that counts.
Then when was the next time?
16. But then it only went in and out 3 times. And then finally last year. No. No, 16 properly.
Yeah.
Properly, yeah.
I was that person who had the unrequited crushes. That was my thing. It was, I was the girl that all the boys was really good friends with, and I was totally in love with them. And they were like, "Oh, I really like you, but you wear brown cords and Radiohead t-shirts, so I could never have sex with you, obviously."
And then they do that thing where they're like, "I really fancy Louise. Can you help me?"
Yeah, all the time. Yeah,
so annoying,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's horrible.
But you are very cool. I think. Like, I think if we'd been at school together, I would have. Well, you were in bands and stuff when you were at school.
Yeah,
weren't
when
you?
I was 17, I joined a band.
Yeah,
which you think would help. But apparently not.
So when you lost your virginity, was it someone that you'd been going... Was that like your first relationship?
No, it was... I moved into a flat and he was a lot older than me and I had sex 2 days later. That was it. It's a really horrible story. No, I mean, not horrible in that way. It was... I moved into... Like, so I, when I was at university, it was my final year of university and I moved in... So I'd live with like quite young students and I just found it a bit difficult. And so I moved into a flat with 4 guys... two of which had proper jobs and two of which were doing PhDs, and it was one of the PhD guys.
Oh, so when you said a lot older than me, I was thinking like 70. Oh,
he was practically dead. No, he was nearly 30.
But that seems really old.
Really old, yeah, when you're 22. Now I've heard, though, he lives on a boat and he has to stand in his toilet to use a shower. He has to stand in his own toilet to use the shower. And I had sex with him. And he stands in a toilet to use a shower.
So come on, is his
and he's got a PhD.
With his PhD in how to build the toilet shower. So hang on, has he got a normal toilet that he has to get in? I mean, I don't even think I could fit both of my feet into a toilet. You mean he has to stand on the lid?
I don't know. If anybody knows, like, I just know. I went out for a coffee with him and he was like, yeah, and obviously living on a boat's amazing. I have to stand in the toilet.
Was he saying it like it was a good thing? Like, every day's an adventure. I don't know what's going to happen, I'm a shower.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does anyone live on a boat and know if that's a thing?
I think what it is you kind of like stand either side of the toilet and the water has to go into the bowl. I think maybe that's what it is.
God. I reckon he just pisses in the shower. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there isn't. It's really good for your feet.
Is it?
Apparently, it's really good if you've got verrucas or something.
Oh, because it's a disinfectant.
Yeah. I don't have any verrucas.
But I would imagine then you have to stand in the shower and piss, then wait for a good 5 minutes for the piss to do its job.
Yeah.
And then you'd be looking down at your feet thinking, have I really just done that? And then you'd have the shower.
It doesn't bother me.
Wow. I mean, I do piss in the shower regularly. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you're washing your body anyway. And the way I see it is like, if you piss in the shower, like the if a tree falls in the woods kind of thing. You don't tell anyone, it's fine. Oh, fuck.
Also, it's much better for the environment. If you know you have to have a piss and then you're going to have to flush the toilet, you may as well do it in the shower.
Yeah, that's true.
We're saving the earth.
Yeah.
You're judging, like you don't do it yourself.
Who... by way of a cheer, has ever weed in the shower? 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Oh,
right, and people sound so happy about it. Who would never do it? 1, 2, 3.
Yay.
Who said yay? Why not? Ben, have you got? Is anyone with a mic around? Oh, Ben's got the mic. Great. I'm so interested to know why you wouldn't. Is there like you had like a bad experience? Go on. Sorry.
People have to use it.
Other people have to
but
use
it's
it.
But it's got water. Like, it's clean.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, water is clean.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like...
He did the inverted commas sign, by the way, you couldn't see. And that was very good use of it.
Thank you. So, you wouldn't want someone else to pee on your face. Like, even if it was clean. Right? I mean, like, it is technically, you know, a disinfectant, as you mentioned. But, you know, it's still not nice.
I know what you mean, but you don't, like, lick the floor of the shower or rub your face in.
This reminded me of my Russell Brand story.
Now, is Russell Brand a code name, Danielle?
For Russell Brand.
So you're going to tell a story about Russell Brand.
Yeah.
It is the real Russell Brand. And we're going to assume
I'm
that he
I'm a female
won't...
comedian. I mean, come on, right? Also, during the Olympics, you know, he was either the opening or it must have been the closing ceremony because I was at Edinburgh and he was on some sort of truck and I had such a horrible Edinburgh in 2012 and he was on some sort of vehicle going through the parade and I was on Twitter going, oh, fucked him! So,
okay, cool.
It's not a secret.
So it's fine, yeah.
When I first met Russell Brand, he said to me, oh, all I want to do is put you in a white T-shirt, stand you in my shower and piss on you.
Did he?
Yeah.
If you'd been there, you would have had a heart attack. Let me get the Mr. Muscle first. After. Yeah, I want to clean it first.
This gentleman looks so appalled.
It just sounds disgusting.
Well, I didn't let him.
You let him shit on you. He strikes me, I think he'd probably say this about himself, wouldn't he? That he very much obeys his impulses sexually.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
If he, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you had sex with him, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And once or twice? tick a box. Once, twice, more than three times.
Oh, once/twice.
Like that. Okay.
Yeah, he's still got my copy of Lenny. I'm really annoyed.
You might not get it back now.
No, I probably won't. It's on tape, so I haven't got any way of playing it. That's how long ago it was.
Well, he might keep it. Is he the kind of person who keeps something? You know, there's people that sometimes you have sex with someone and they're like, can I have a fiver for the boss? And you're like, bosses don't cost a fiver. And you realise they like keeping things from each other.
Oh, he probably is. Yeah, I reckon he is. He must like have a whole storage unit. Safe store 24, that sort of thing.
Oh, so I'm glad that there's only one person in this room who's insane enough not to piss in the shower. That makes me feel good that we're all a bit... I mean, it's normal, isn't it? Yeah. I went to Centre Parks once, and I know, when I was about 17, and me and my mate Caroline met these two really posh boys, and we went out of the grounds with them, which was, like, forbidden.
Yeah, you can't do that at Centre Parks.
And we went to see this group called Menergy, which were, I know, at a local nightclub. Which were like a strip group, strippers,
yeah.
Who sang Take That songs and stripped at the same time.
That sounds amazing!
Yeah, it was brilliant. I mean, it's a long time ago. And after we'd been to see Menergy, we went back to Centre Parks and we like snogged them against the trees. Not Menergy, two posh boys, and who were called Marius and Ed. And then, of course they were. Then I went for a piss on an electric fence. I know. Oh, what a great intake of breath. And I nearly electrocuted myself. I was so drunk. Like, I was falling into
the
electric fence.
Did it come up the stream?
Well, I guess it did. I remember
right into your urethra.
Yeah, I only knew that you weed out of a different hole, like, really recently. Like, when I had a baby, like, someone was like, you know, you don't wee out of there, and I was like, oh. I guess it, like, I remember being, you know, when you're really hammered, and you just remember, and everyone was like, oh my God, that's an electric fence, so I was, like, falling into it.
Oh my God. And you let them watch you piss?
Yeah.
The best drunken piss, and I'm sad to admit this, is if you find a low wall as a woman, just sit on the wall, then do it.
Oh, you mean put your bum...
Yeah, put your bum on the wall like it is a toilet with no hole, and then just go for it.
God, I bet you're going to be cleaning every wall. If you're with a girl and she sits in a wall, you're like, no, please wait till we get home, please. I'm painting you as some kind of... You are quite a normal person, probably. It's just that everyone in here is really sick and will piss in the shower. I remember a story about you climbing over a fence once at a train station.
Yes.
What happened?
Oh my, right, so this is the stupidest thing I've ever done. I was doing a gig with Carl Donnelly, and we were running to get the train, and like, it had a big old fence and the train was coming up and we couldn't see a way onto the platform, so Carl Donnelly went, let's climb over the fence. And he climbed over the fence, he's a lot taller than me, and I climbed over the fence, missed my footing and speared a fence pole up my buttock. I know, it's like, it wasn't like deeply embedded, I didn't have to get an ambulance, but it cut a hole at the back of my thigh and buttocks.
So did it burst through your jeans?
Yeah, so it split my jeans and went and sort of like cut my bum. And I'm hanging there on the fence. This is my favourite thing I've ever said in real life. I'm hanging on the fence. And so you know what, like, so Cole runs onto the train platform and gets on the train and is holding the doors open for me. That's a nice thing to do. And then people's heads start popping out of the train and Carl was like, come on, come on. And hanging from the fence, I went, it's all right, you go without me. I've been so embarrassed about anything in my life. And it was awful. And then a train guard came up and he looked at me like I was a real prick. He's going, what have you done? I was like, I didn't know how to get onto the platform. I thought the gates were locked. I thought, because it was past 9 o'clock, the gates were locked.
This is the best possible way. I just climb over this massive fence.
He went, and there's a... there's a gap there. We hadn't seen it. And then I said, can you help me down, please? And he said, I'm not touching you, I might get AIDS.
Oh, my God.
He went and got some gloves before he'd let me put my trainers on his hand.
Someone just said, that's fucking ace. That's great. Well, I suppose it's like, yeah, God, what? You don't want to touch your trainers in case he got AIDS.
Yeah, I know, exactly. What do you think I've done? Kicked Freddie Mercury to death. I didn't.
Yeah, just to add, just in case.
It wasn't me. Yeah, so yeah, that's the thing. I just, oh,
did
man.
Did Carl get on the train or did he wait
for
you?
He waited for me, yeah.
Oh, good.
They held the train for about 5 minutes. As a series
sorry,
of people
sorry, ladies and gentlemen,
and
there's a lady whose buttock is speared on
I had to sit on some napkins to stop myself bleeding all over the seat.
Jeez.
It was really horrible.
Did you have to get jabs, like?
I did have to go to the walk-in centre on Greek Street. And then they're like, what have you done? And
climbed over a fence. Oh, my God. I always remember my ex-boyfriend was on a train once that was really, really busy, and this guy ran down the stairs with a suitcase in each hand and, like, looked really officious and kind of like, I'm getting on this train, and jumped onto the train, but the doors closed. But the doors closed on his face. So they closed basically around his ears. So his head was trapped looking into the tube carriage, and like the back of his head and his body were on the platform, and he was like looking from side to side and saying, oh fuck. And then the train driver came on the tannoy and said, well, well, well. We seem to have caught ourselves a twat. Wouldn't happen now.
Really? Just, you think they'd be too grumpy?
People are too health. Well, they're too health and safety conscious. They'd be like, oh, I've got to open the doors in case they sue me. Like, you know what I mean?
Do you think? I think you'd just drive off. slam them into the platform.
I think that the approach to dating is different between the sexes when you're at school. Like, the thing that you were saying about not talking to boys.
Yeah.
I feel like I did a bit of that. Like, I was a bit of a tomboy, and I was also in bands a lot. And I used to be really good friends with people, and people used to say, like, oh, you know, you're cute. But I remember this guy saying to me, you're cute, but you'll never be beautiful, as if that was a compliment. I know. Michael Chadwick, thank you. It was one of those things, like, a bit neggy, you know, like, negging?
Yeah.
Like, don't worry, I know, you're cute, you'll never be beautiful. And I felt that that was how I was regarded. Like, I was, like, in gangs with boys, but people sort of went, oh, you're like my sister, but I could never... And that used to really piss me off. And I wonder why, if that was why sometimes I kind of went, oh, I'm going to write a song for someone, I'm going to... Like, I suddenly seemed to go really overboard. But it's because for years I'd been, like, God, getting really frustrated. Cause
yeah.
I felt like people just saw me like that.
I totally understand that, but I was really, really unattractive when I was younger. Not that I'm great now. I was really unattractive when I was younger, and I had a real sort of, like, I never really felt... So the first time I fell in love with someone, I was... It was on my 17th birthday, and I was in the canteen at school, and my best friend Katie had bought me a balloon, and... we let go of it by accident. It floated up into the like, ceiling, and it was too high for us, and this guy... who was 6'2", got it down for us, and I was totally in love with him. He was my best friend for years and years and years. I've just realised this story doesn't have a funny punchline. If anything, it's quite sad.
No, it's all right. That's what I say about this podcast. It doesn't matter. Like, honestly.
So yeah. He was my best friend for years, and on my 18th birthday, he got off with my other friend, and I invited him. I thought it was going to be really good. I thought we were going to have a great time. He got off with my friend. It was really sad, but we got over it because we were best friends. We were really good friends. We were so close friends. We'd like email each other all the time. And then when I went to Russia for a little bit. I went to Russia for 3 months, and when I got back, I stayed around his house on Holloway Road, and I stayed at his flat. And that night, he said to me, "I love you." I was like, oh my God, I've been waiting like 6 years to hear this. I can't believe it. You're telling me you love me. And then the next day I left his house and I was so excited and happy. He didn't speak to me again for 5 years. See? Because he had a girlfriend who said, you can't do this.
So did
and that's
she...
why I didn't go out with anybody. Frasier's.
Did she find out that he'd said I love you?
Yeah, he told her, yeah.
And when he said I love you, had anything happened?
No, or... we'd only ever kissed. But
that, he... that is something.
Well,
yeah.
We only ever kissed.
I hadn't rimmed him, if that's what you...
But you had kissed that night.
Yeah,
or
that
previous
night. Yeah,
to
yeah.
That.
It was off. First proper kiss was that night after this weird When Harry Met Sally relationship for 6 years. We kissed that night and I was so excited. And then about 2 years later, so he didn't speak to me for 5 years, 2 years later, I Googled his band and he had a song that had the lyrics, I don't keep my promises and you don't shave above the knee. And I was so sad. It
was about
me.
About
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
Could have been about me. I don't shave above the knee either. Oh, that's yeah. Was that nice to hear that? Like a
no,
little silent nod
was,
to you?
No, it was quite offensive. But also correct.
Because
so.
In a way, I suppose, I don't know, I suppose it's quite romantic that he was thinking about you when he wrote the song. Or is it just like annoying because like it's like, why did you do that and not go out with me?
It, like it is romantic and it's a bit weird. Like this. So my apart from my partner now, who I am totally in love with and devoted to, 8 years we've been together, my track record with relationships is guys who are my best friends and it's a very intense platonic relationship that then spills into something and then they go, oh no, I've got a girlfriend. That's it, that's my track record.
Yeah.
So,
But David doesn't have one.
No, he didn't have a girlfriend.
Unless he's been hiding for 8 years.
Yeah, I mean...
under the bed.
He's
just been
done a good job, yeah.
If only I can shave below the knee, I'll be fine. yes, I know what you mean. I think I always used to go... for guys who were slightly aloof in the,
really?
And think that I could sort of make them sort of soften them up a bit. I don't know why I'm doing that. for the sake of anyone listening, I'm doing almost like a sign that people do when they're making money.
See, my whole soften thing is I have been punching below my weight for a long time. These are all guys. Have you had any songs written about you? Because I've had 2 songs written about me.
I don't know that I've had a song written about me. But I like to think that Bjork's Isabel is at least a nod to my... no, I don't think I have.
Blackbird by the Beatles is about me. No, it isn't.
I love the way you pick that out. So you've had 2 songs written about you?
Yeah, so the one about shaving above the knee. Yeah.
Was the whole song about you or just those lines?
I don't know, because I never listened to it. I just read it in a review, and they were going, oh, who is this mysterious... In all defence, so I've named him, that sounds really bad. The woman who he was in love with at the time is his wife. They have 2 children. It's very much a lovely thing. He was very right to not go with me. But I was very sad for 5 years and did some self-harming. So, I mean, who was the winner in that situation?
I think you need to write a song about that and name him in
it. No, I don't want... He's a nice bloke.
Yeah, no.
He's all right. He looks quite a lot like Bradley Wiggins. Yeah, same sideburns. He won't listen to this. We didn't speak for 5 years and then we met up and it was all totally fine. We were both really cool about it and we had a lovely time. And he said to me, I don't understand why you do comedy. I hate comedy. My friends are funnier than most comedians. And I thought, fuck you, we're not being friends.
People often think that, don't
I
they?
I know. Really? And his friends are fucking tedious as well. He doesn't have a telly. I don't really need to know.
He's like one of those people who lives on a boat.
I know, what a fucking prick. No telly, no toilet, my past.
And what was the other song you had written about?
So yeah. I was in a band called The Loves. This feels very confessional now. I was in a band called The Loves and I had a very, very tiny, ill-advised affair with the lead singer. And there's a song on the 3rd album called Can You Feel My Heartbeat, which is about me. But it's sung by David Quantick's wife, so people don't know it's about me, but it's about me.
And is it a nice song?
It's a really nice song, and Simon wrote it, and he sent it to me saying, this is about you, but this is a very bad thing that we've gotten into, so we can't do it.
God.
Yeah.
That's
also why I'm not in The Loves anymore, if anybody wondered.
But the thing is, I think there's a certain romanticism to having... Like, I'd quite like it if someone... Well, not now, perhaps, but... You know, in my 20s, I would have liked it if someone had written a song about... I wrote so many songs about guys. Like, I wrote... When I was, 11 or 12, I started writing... When I first started to play the guitar, I would write songs... I would get commissioned to write songs about guys by other people. So, like, a girl would give me some facts about a guy, and I'd write a song about them. And at one point, me and Joe Gibbs, my best friend, we fancied two best friends, and I wrote a duet for us that went like, I used to sing, she used to sing, Tim, you remind me of a shooting star. And then I'd sing, Dan, I always wonder where you are. And then we'd sing together, and you know we'd do anything for you, but you don't love us too. And it was like, so it was like, what are we trying to do? What is that? That thing of like, we'll get there first and say that you don't love us, but also we've written this incredible song that involves three chords, D, G, and A.
And you're gonna fall in love with us. Underground.
Yeah. Around the same time, I did this thing where I got really into poetry. You know that thing where you're like, I'm going to write loads of... I'm going to get stoned and write, like, a fucking A4 pad of poetry called, like, Nothing Is Real. There's this poem that goes, two roads diverged a yellow wood. Knowing I could not travel both would be one traveller long I stood. And I really liked it, so I put it to music. And it went, two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And knowing I could not travel both would be one traveller long I stood. And then it went on, it looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. And then I needed to write more music, so I started to add words to the poem, like, or where I thought it should. Like, oh my God. I wrote another one. I didn't understand, you know that poem, Do Not Go Gentle Into That Dark Night? Yeah. I put that to music, but I was kind of rapping. And I didn't understand the meaning of it at all. It was like, do not go gentle into that dark night. It's time to party. Do you feel all right? That song is about someone dying. Not like, hey, it's the end of the night. Let's just all chill. Like,
oh, that's like MC Scat Cat.
Yeah, yeah.
That's brilliant.
I've only ever recorded one song for one person, and I recorded like onto a little cassette tape in the 80s. I sang the Pet Shop Boys version of You Were Always On My Mind for my best friend Emma Collins.
Oh, so you did it for a girl?
Yeah, because we'd fallen out, and the way I felt I should apologise to her, because you know when you're a kid and like I can hold a grudge for fucking years now, but and I will do. But
yeah, when you I, will, I can imagine, yeah. I really wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of you.
Like I say, 5 years, 10 years, I've spent that long not talking to people. They don't care.
I can imagine that you're the kind of person who go, I'm not going to speak again, and then you would actually do it. For like 5 years.
Yeah, I've walked into rooms of people I've known and not even acknowledged their existence. I've proper ghosted them. I'm really good at it if you want any tips. I've recorded this version of You Were Always On My Mind for my friend Emma because we hadn't spoken for about 10 days and that felt like a really long time. And she forgave me and now we're really good friends.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I've never met a second child. It's fine, it's good.
Has anyone here ever written a song for anyone? Oh, great, okay.
Have you ever written a song for... Yeah. Oh.
Oh.
My ex-boyfriend wrote a poem about me.
Did he? Oh, let's get a mic. This sounds brilliant. She said that her ex-boyfriend wrote a poem about her. I like everything about this because he's an ex-boyfriend, so you can say what you like about him. Hello, what's your name?
I'm Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. Yeah, if you hold the mic really unnaturally close to your mouth, that'd be great. So you said your ex-boyfriend wrote a poem about you.
Yeah, I was stalking him on his blog.
Okay. Good start.
And then I found a poem which really struck a chord with me. I remembered sitting with him while he was describing the scene, and he was like, her hair was like hay on a disused road.
I mean, he paints a picture.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if to be flattered or slightly scared by that.
Can you remember any of the lines from it?
I can't, I'm afraid, but I just knew it was about me. I couldn't explain how I knew.
Yeah.
But...
her hair was like hay on a disused road.
Like, poetic.
I mean, I suppose hay isn't great, is it? Like, I guess you wouldn't go to the hairdresser and be like, can you make my hair look like hair?
If you've got rabbits, hay's really good.
Exactly. If you're a rabbit,
Yeah.
I don't think it's like hair. Your hair looks very nice.
Thank you.
It's the disused road. So her hair was like hay on a working farm. Kind of be like half a compliment, wouldn't it? Her hair was like silk on a disused road.
He was a lovely guy, but have you ever read The Beano?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Walter the Softie.
Yeah.
I just imagined him washing his teddy bears on the lawn outside.
That's brilliant. His name wasn't Walter, was it?
Hmm?
His name wasn't Walter.
No, Greg.
Good, good. Let's fucking name it. Yeah. Let's name these fucking men. Yeah. Write poems about women.
But let's not name
them. Piss on them in white t-shirts.
But we're not going to name Keith or Sam.
No, we aren't.
No, we aren't.
No, we haven't talked about Keith at all, actually. We need to. Lovely. And your, is that your current boyfriend?
Hello, yes.
Hello. Hello. And what's your name?
Ash. I've met you before.
You have,
you?
Yeah. I often say this, you have, but you're a very nice man.
Thank
you're not.
You.
You're not at all stalkery. That sounded like I was being sarcastic. I meant genuinely. Like, oh yes, I remember you. You know when your brain scans a face and goes, friend, not enemy. Hello, Ash. Hello again. I met you in Manchester, didn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So have you written a song about her, have you?
No, I didn't. I did make a grievous error in a gesture of love once, though.
Okay.
I bought her some flowers, and she was quite surprised that I'd bought the flowers. And because she was quite surprised, I panicked, and instead of saying, oh, I got them because I love you, I said, oh, they were discount. And thus a stared a hole right through me, and I felt kind of guilty, but not guilty enough until she just sort of put them down on the bed, and I just felt like, oh, you're a dickhead.
Oh, but the thing is, you still got them, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's still
there you
to
go.
Then Keith. No, Keith sent me a lot of Keith used to send, like, Keith wasn't earning any money, and yet he would still send massive bouquets of flowers to my work, and I'd be like, fucking pay your rent, you massive cunt.
Why did you care whether he paid his rent or not? Were you just exasperated because he wasn't taking responsibility for
yeah,
that?
No, it's
not
like
that reaction to getting flowers. Not that many people get called a cunt when they...
No, right, it's a real... It's someone who just doesn't live in the real world. It's like, I don't need flowers. You have to pay your rent. What is wrong with you? Why are you mentally ill? That was sort of the thinking behind
Danielle's
it.
Danielle's really got over Keith. Keith is a lovely... The amount of times we're saying the word Keith. Keith is a lovely man. I know Keith as well.
Keith's fine.
He is fine. Well, I think it's nice that you got her flowers, but that wasn't your lovely girlfriend who you're with now, was it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, it is her. Right, okay. I thought
I'm not the one who wrote the poetry, no.
Okay. I thought when you said it, she looked like, oh, you never get me flowers. But actually, she was just remembering the fact that you said they were discount. Has anyone else ever done anything like that, where they've sort of tried to do a nice thing and then they've fucked it up through nerves? No? Why? I don't fucking believe. Has anyone ever done anything where they've made anything for anyone they want to tell us about? No, okay. Oh, yes, someone at the back. Hello, lady in glasses with lovely blonde hair. Could you, yes, hold the mic very close to your mouth, thank
Hello.
You. Like you're about to suck off Russell Brand. But you're having second thoughts and I've gone very Partridge.
Yeah,
having second thoughts and you're looking up at him and asking him to recite all the bridges in London before you decide whether you're going to do it or not. Hello, what's your name? I've done that before where I've been like, you want a blowjob? Fucking tell me the capital of 5 countries in the world, mate.
Really?
No.
No. I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah, do it. I mean, you've been with Dave for 8 years.
Yeah.
Really spice up things in the bedroom.
Yeah. Get him to, like, name capitals.
Yeah. Like, what's a continent? Explain it in one sentence. That kind of
He'd
thing.
He'd probably get really angry.
Yeah.
If it's already hard. If it was flaccid and it was pre-sex chat, he'd go with the joke.
But no, it has to be as you're about
I
to do
it. I think
if
it was hard, he would find that difficult.
What would anger do to a hard-on, though? Has anyone ever been
makes it harder.
Yeah, with some people it might be... Yeah, that lady's nodding as if... I mean, I don't know. I don't know, because I'm not a man.
It's not good.
It's not good.
No, it doesn't help it, usually.
No, it doesn't help.
Surely it does,
no.
The blood pumping round. Does it not?
No, you're distracted then, aren't you? So.
Yeah, I suppose you're distracted.
Good to know.
It's a good tip to anger someone with a hard on, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh no, he's got a hard on and he's angry. What's going to happen?
That's the deleted scene from Avengers Assemble.
Hello, hello. Sorry, what's your name?
It's Holling.
Holling?
Yeah. No, Holling.
Oh, Holly. I was like, Holling? What an unusual name. The Hollings sounds like somewhere you'd rent in Devon, doesn't it? For like £300 a week. Yeah. And you'd get there and it'd be like a chapel that was converted
Moldy.
Into... Yeah. Come to the Hollings. No, your name's Holly, which is a perfectly normal name. Hello, Holly. So what have you done?
I painstakingly and lovingly decorated a bin.
Okay. What kind of bin was it? Like, I'm picturing like a swing bin in the kitchen, is
no,
that
No,
it's
like a small kind of tin bin. Bought it off eBay, and it was sort of about 2006, so emo was a really big thing. So I did it in a kind of emo theme with loads of ironic stickers. And right at the bottom, I wrote in permanent marker, OMG, this bin is empty, like my heart.
Oh, do people think that's nice? I think that's, I suppose if you say to someone, empty like my heart, it could be good or bad, couldn't it? It could be like, it's waiting to be filled with you. Or it could be like, my heart is empty, don't try and go out with me, it'll be a fucking failure. Was it someone you were already going out with, or like a guy that you...
Yeah, well, it was, and I'm still with him actually. So, it worked.
So, what was he thinking behind the... Did you just think, a bin is often empty, why don't I try and link it with something about my heart? Or did you think... Because what else could you write?
Well, this the bin is empty like my vagina, right? That's what I was thinking. That's what I'd have written.
I don't understand why you didn't lose your virginity till you were 22. If I was a bloke and you'd use lines like that on it. Yeah, what was the thinking behind it? Did you think about it for a long time, or were you just like, oh, I've got to write something?
The note at the bottom was an afterthought, and then it was one of those things that you... I know, like, I'm sure everybody else has done that, where you write something, and then...
I like the way you say that. I mean, I do often say that, so I'm sure everyone else has done this, right? But, yeah.
And then after you've written it, you think... Oh, that actually could be construed in quite a dark way.
And it's in permanent markers.
Yeah, so there was no way that was going to... Right at the bottom. I had to still hold the end of the pen so it was wobbly.
Because I was so angry when I was writing it! How did you give it him? Did you wait? Did you wrap it up? Or did you, like, lead him into the room with the lights off?
I don't really remember. I think I might have given it to him for his birthday.
I mean, I made a penguin for someone, so I'm probably a bit biased, but I think that's quite nice. Would you like to get that?
I'm already thinking I'm going to write a message on a bin saying, like, this bin is emptied like my womb. That's what I mean.
Yes, I mean, yeah.
That's... 37, clock's ticking.
Well, you could even just do a line, then fill it in with chalk, with whatever you thought on that day.
Yeah, whatever on the day, yeah. Yeah, that's good, like a shopping list.
Yeah. Like my nose, I've just picked all the bogies out, so it's empty. I mean, that's a, you know, less sort of dirty thing, isn't it? Like my bum, I've just done a poo. Well, that is it.
That implies anal sex. Yeah, like, it's difficult.
I mean, anal sex is just so fucking 2001.
Never done it. Never done it.
Nor have I.
Never done it.
Nor have I. I haven't.
No.
I know it seems like she who doth protest too much. I genuinely haven't.
I don't even like wearing a thong. I just don't like movement in that area.
Yeah. Anyone else? I mean, you know, it's horses for courses, but I just think it's not something that I...
It doesn't interest me.
Get into.
I sound like my mum. When I told my mum I was in a Shakespearean play, she went, I hate Shakespeare. And I worry that that's what I sound like when I say I don't like anal sex.
Well, now we're all going, seriously, you haven't thought it through. Yeah. I like the fact that she did that. Would she do that if you were like, I don't know, I bought some avocados the other day. She, oh, I hate avocados.
Yeah, she's really like pasta and pesto. I hate pesto.
Really? Yeah. Is there anything she loves? Like,
she...
Anal sex! Oh my God. Now, if Danielle's mum's listening, I am so sorry.
I promise you, my mum will never listen to this. Not interested.
I hate podcasts.
Fucking hate podcasts.
What did you say? You bought something, and she said she liked it.
No, I was going to say the only thing that the only thing she's interested in is grandchildren. So that's now. Genuinely, yeah.
But you've got loads of brothers and sisters, haven't you?
I have, yes.
And they've got kids, have they, some of them?
My sister's got a three-year-old and my brother is... his baby's due in September.
So that she should be happy now.
Yes, totally fine. Pressure's off me.
Maybe now she's, you know, she's got that ticked off. She can try, I don't know, pesto.
Yeah.
Not anal sex. Oh, my God!
Though her and my dad split up 2 years ago, so I reckon anal was probably on the cards.
I mean, I find it... How old is she?
She's 58.
God, that's young.
I know, slap her.
I find it really weird to think of people... I mean, she, actually, I don't want to imagine her having sex, but I could. I find it really weird to think of people over, like, 63 having sex.
Really?
It feels, yeah, especially anal sex.
Izzy, I love to imagine 100-year-old sticking their tongues up each other's bottoms.
When I can't get to sleep, I just lie there.
I am, like, on. But the thing, I think that's what happens when you're young. When you're young, you can't imagine older people having sex. And then when you get to a certain age, you go, oh, yeah, obviously. I mean, I'm way better at sex now than I was when I was younger. I didn't even know, as a girl, you were meant to move until about 2 years ago. No, what is it? If you watch a woman, if you watch, especially missionary, if you watch a woman in a film in missionary position, she just lies there. And that's what you did.
Yeah.
You can move, apparently.
Just depict, I think films often depict sex awfully.
Yes.
On behalf of women. I mean, I used to have this friend who really, really loved smoking weed. And I once got in and she had a... She was great, but she was always really stoned. And I got in once and she had a chopping board on her knee with a loaf of white bread and a jar of Branston pickle and some extra mature cheddar. And she was just racking up sandwiches and eating them. It was going to be incredible. But she used to really love playing this game with her boyfriend. And she told me what she was like. I really love playing this game where it's like, I pretend to be dead and he comes in and has sex with me. And I'm like, that's because you're always so stoned. You can't be asked to move. And that was why it was her favourite. She just had to lie there.
Just lie there.
Yeah, and she could even eat some cheese sandwiches. Well, actually, I suppose if you're dead, you can't eat sandwiches, but I think they bend the rules.
My favourite sex is no moving sex, I'll be honest. But then,
not no moving sex, like he doesn't move either.
He has to move loads. I don't move at all. That's the best sex.
But yeah, then, I suppose.
Apparently, like, yeah, but also, I started doing Pilates, my core got a lot stronger. It improves stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it really does.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a nice tip. We've got to finish in a minute.
Okay.
I like the idea that we finish on that. it's like a loose women-y type point. I've started Pilates and later, do you believe the result? Got this voice.
I'm like Arnold Schwarzenegger down there.
For some reason, when he said that, I imagined him gripping.
Yeah. Like, so you should. That was the image I was trying to conjure up.
Quite a good horror film.
I'm like the Expendables down there. I don't know what that means.
I love the idea that you can get someone into bed with that line. Like, don't worry. Okay. Well, Pilates. Yes, suppose. I mean, yeah. I've got a baby. I can't. I think I just go for the not moving thing. Maybe I'll start Pilates in about 3 years.
good end, I think.
No, I don't think that's a good end. I like the fact we've talked about sex. So this is the third podcast, and the first two have been John Robbins, who was very drunk and said lots of things about fingering a girl and said her surname, then was like, you've got to edit that out. And then Josh Widdicombe, who didn't say any stuff about fingering. But what I love is that it's been really nice having you, and it's been really interesting having a woman, because I think we've talked about sex and the emotional side of relationships more.
Yeah.
In a sort of really fucking stereotypical... Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think if I've got any good fingering stories now.
Yeah, go on.
I don't think I have. I don't think I have. It's not that interesting, is it?
No, I mean, who does fingering now?
Exactly.
Oh, you're all really young. You're probably,
yeah.
Probably doing it now.
We love some fingering.
None of you have got kids. Right, well, okay, so we're going to end on... Ben, what's...
Hello.
This is Ben, who does all... Who's the producer, and he's great. Should we sort of finish now?
Five minutes.
Gone. What should we talk about? Has anyone got anything they want to say about fingering?
I know I can ask you, right? So you know when people go, if the world's going to end in 10 minutes, what would you do? And most people say have sex.
Yeah.
Do you not think that's awful?
Well, I think it's awful if it takes you 10 and a half minutes to orgasm.
Well, exactly. 25 minutes. Never going to happen.
No, I guess what you'd have to do is go round. If you wanted to do it, you'd have to be having sex all the time so that when the call came and said, it's only 10 minutes more.
No, this is what I thought. So I've got
I love the fact you thought this through.
No, like, I had this little bit of material in my Edinburgh show about, 10 minutes before the end of the earth, would you have sex? And no, because it takes too long to orgasm. But yesterday, I was in Regent's Park, and you know this big... So if you were in Regent's Park yesterday, Obama's helicopters came over, but I didn't know this was happening. So these three big Ospreys, which are the helicopters with the two rotors, they look like aircraft carriers or something, but in the sky... Two of those came over, and you can see them on the horizon, and they're sort of coming close. And I was like, this is really weird. I don't know what's happening. And they start looming down. And then if a helicopter's ever gone over your head where it's coming into land, it's so low. It felt like the end of 28 Days Later. It was really frightening. And I was genuinely there. I was there with my dog thinking, I'm going to die now. But I also found it really erotic. And I've always maintained that if the world was ending in 10 minutes, I wouldn't be able to come. But I think I'd come way easier. I think it would be so easy. Something really hot about dying.
Then? Do you think it was just like... Because I've been near a helicopter and you feel like you're going to fall over, don't you?
Yeah.
From the sheer force of it. God, maybe you've tapped into some weird fetish.
I thought I was going to be gunned down and it turned me on so much.
Oh, so it was to do with it being a bomber and
I didn't even know it was a bomber. I could have been a terrorist for all I cared. It didn't matter.
So it's fear.
It's fear. I was wet with fear. I was expecting to be really scared, and I was really scared, but also massively turned on at the same time.
Well, that's amazing. When I had the idea for this podcast, I thought it would be people like, I put a packet of Walker's crisps in Carol's bag when I was 12. Never did I think it would contain the line, wet with fear. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I know no one's going to admit it, but has anyone else had that experience where they got really turned on in a time that they shouldn't? No.
Oh, you wait, guys. It's really worth it.
Go and ham around near helicopters. And
helicopters.
I think I'd just be dry with fear. No, I think I'd just be like, fuck this.
It was one of the most erotic moments of my life. It was really, like, I was really... I was so turned on and frightened at the same time.
Dude, that's...
Is that weird?
I think you're really lucky. It's like an extra skill, isn't it? Like in 20 years when you like... As you say, like, well, we know each other really well because of 28 years. Yeah. You can get him to dress as... I don't know, like a ghost.
Colonel Gaddafi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go through all the dictators. Yeah. Get your Colonel Gaddafi outfits on eBay.
Though it would be the ghost of Colonel Gaddafi if it was going to be real.
Yes, exactly. It had to be factually true. Okay, I think we're going to finish now. I'll do the song. So in this bit, there will be bits where you have to say things. It will be very clear. The things we do for love. The things we do for love. Your boyfriend's middle name is?
Marshall.
What a great middle name.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
His mum's name is?
Jane.
The things we do for love. Is that Jane with a Y or Jane without a Y?
Without a Y.
The things we do for love. Delete as applicable. I love him best. I love my dog best.
I love him best.
The things we do for love. The first thing he ever said to me was?
That wasn't very good.
I can't. Nothing can top that.
The things we do for love. Thank you so much. I've been joined by the brilliant Danielle Ward. Do you want to say anything else?
That's it. Thanks. God. Don't tell anybody what I've said. Let's keep it secret.
All a secret. A lost thing in this room. Thank you. You've been a really, really lovely audience. And thank you, people who shared their delights and downfalls of love with us. We will see you again. Thank you for listening, people who are listening. I've been Izzy Sutty. Goodbye!
The Things We Do for Love was hosted by Izzy Sutty and featured guest Danielle Ward. The theme music is by Charlie Jefferson. Thanks to The Phoenix for having us, The British Comedy Guide for hosting us, and to Ash Caffrey and Katie Story for helping out on the night. The Things We Do for Love is produced by Ben Walker for Fuzz Productions and the Internet. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed The Things We Do for Love, then you might also enjoy Izzy's new book, The Actual One, which is available in shops and online now. Please visit izzysutty.com for more details.